We are back with part two of our Build a WrestleMania concept. This is Build a WrestleMania Sunday, covering WrestleManias 11 through 20 here on Kicking Out at 2. I'm Dave, along with Justin. We're back, and we are better than ever, as Eric Bischoff's theme song would say. Actually, we're not really that, but it just kind of rolled off the tongue. But anyhow, we had Build a WrestleMania Saturday. For those of you in the thread who are keeping score, you can check that out in the archives over at Retromania on Podbean on the Retromania feed, as well as all podcast platforms available. So we built a pretty good WrestleMania card covering WrestleManias 1 through 10. For our listeners out there, why don't we recap for them who made the WrestleMania Saturday card for our last recording for Build a WrestleMania Saturday.
Yeah, a quick rundown of the card from last night's action on WrestleMania, Build a WrestleMania Saturday. We opened the night with, going way back to WrestleMania 10, brother versus brother, Brett versus Owen. We needed an opener to open this Build a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And we went with that one.
Yeah.
As we felt that there was really no other one in its class in terms of matches that have begun a WrestleMania. In that, especially in that era, of WrestleMania 1 through 10.
Yeah.
We followed it up with the Women's Championship from WrestleMania 1. That was Wendy Richter accompanied by Cyndi Lauper facing Layna Kai, who had Fabulous Moolah in her corner. And then we just hopped over to a year later at WrestleMania 2 to see the Dream Team defend the WWF Tag Team titles against the British Bulldogs, who had Ozzy Osbourne cheering them on. And then we hopped over to the 90s to WrestleMania 8. For an 8-man tag that consisted of Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Sergeant Slaughter, the Big Boss Man, and Virgil taking on the Nasty Boys, the Mountie, and Repo Man. We then went back a year and went to the Los Angeles Sports Coliseum or Memorial, whatever nonsense, whatever building that they had to settle on instead of the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum.
Well, it was a safety hazard because of the war, if you remember.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Sergeant Slaughter had a bomb threat.
We thought that the blindfold match of Jake the Snake Roberts versus the model Rick Martel deserved to be on this Build a WrestleMania Saturday. And that's what we thought.
So, yep. There it is.
And then to kind of let the people down a little bit. Let him down, let him up, I guess. We got Piper's Pit from WrestleMania 5 that featured Morton Downey Jr. and Brother Love. That took place, again, WrestleMania 5 in Trump Plaza.
Atlantic City.
Yes.
New Jersey.
Staying in the same arena, staying in the same year, staying on the same show. We took that year's Intercontinental Championship between the Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude and put that on the card as we were heading towards the home stretch. We then jumped over to the following year at the Toronto Sky Dome with a little mixed tag action as the Macho King Randy Savage and Queen Cherry faced Dusty Rhodes and Sapphire, who had Miss Elizabeth in their corner. And we closed the night with the main event of all main events in most people's minds, going back to WrestleMania 3, the WWF Championship of Hulk Hogan being defended against the 15-year winning streak of Andre the Giant, Bobby the Brain Heenan in his corner. So yeah, that's where we left off.
Okay.
The last night's action.
Last night's action.
And we're gearing up for some night two, some Sunday.
So Sunday night two, WrestleMania's 11 through 20. There's a lot more on the table, which brought this thought to me. Last night's card, we had 8 matches in a Piper's Pit. As time went on with these WrestleManias from 11 through 20, the WrestleMania cards were longer in length. We saw even 9, 10 matches maybe.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave it open in the event that we decide we want to go past the 7-8 match kind of guidelines. So if we feel the need to put a match or two extra on, they could be the Sunday night heat matches or the kickoff matches or whatever.
Those did happen.
So we did have those as well. If we're going to do a commentary team for this, why don't we start off with who do you think should be calling the action for WrestleManias 11 through 20 for this Build a WrestleMania Sunday?
It's got to be King and JR.
Okay.
You know, you could make a case for Vince McMahon, but I feel like he probably would also have a possible presence.
We might get canceled for putting Vince on this, you know.
He would also have a possible presence depending on what matches or moments we would select for this.
Yeah,
for this
that's true, edition. Too. So, that's true as well because he's got a part in it.
JR and King, they were
Maybe Michael Cole.
Maybe.
Yeah. As a third.
That's a good three-man group. Let's go with that. That's fair. I think that's, you know, for what your generation saw in, you know, Gorilla and Bobby or Gorilla and Ventura.
Jesse,
you know,
yeah.
My generation was JR and the King.
JR and the King. Okay, perfect.
So definitely that works. The next level, the next era.
That works. All right. So why don't we get right into it? How do you think we should start? How do you think we should go about this?
So I think that we, much like we did yesterday, we go through and identify what made that decade of WrestleMania's, what were like the fingerprints, the markings, the normal calling cards, mm-hmm. the trends that kind of were prevalent in terms of building these individual WrestleMania's.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, and a lot of those trends also are the people who were the constant names you would see.
First one that comes to mind, if you're going to go, you know, there's three really that come to mind. And we already used one of them on the WrestleMania Saturday recording, and that's Bret Hart.
Okay.
Bret Hart still kind of has a role in some of these earlier WrestleManias in between 11 and 13.
Right.
Two of those matches being the Iron Man match with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 12 and then the submission match with Steve Austin at WrestleMania 13. The other two names that come to mind, Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. So you have a lot to work with. There's a lot that's going to be left off the table. We don't have to put Bret on this card if we don't want to.
Right, of course.
Because he was already on the WrestleMania card for WrestleMania Build a mm-hmm. WrestleMania Saturday. Mm-hmm. So it's just an option. It's just something to throw out there. So
yeah, those are good people to kind of start with. Bret, to me, I feel like if you're putting him on the card, it's either for 12 or 13. And obviously mm-hmm. he didn't come back until after 20 anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But I also look at, like, I don't think Shawn needs to be on there for 12 necessarily. And
no.
Steve Austin's got a lot that he did outside of that classic match with Bret.
Bret at 13, yeah.
But let's go to some of those constant names like the Undertaker, I feel like is a good place to start. In this decade, he fought, let's just rattle them off. He fought King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 11. He fought Diesel at WrestleMania 12. He fought Sid for the WWF Championship at 13. He fought Kane at 14. He fought the Big Boss Man at 15. He took a year off at 16. 17, he fought Triple H. 18, he fought Ric Flair. 19, he had that handicap match against A-Train in the Big Show. And 20, he again fought Kane. This is more or less pre-streak.
Yes, I was just going to say.
That's another important notice.
Yep.
I don't think they made mention of a streak of any type until probably towards the tail end of that decade of WrestleMania. It's not a decade, but the tail end of that 10 years.
Yep.
I think the matches you think about that I think are probably worth... The fact that he wrestled King twice makes me want to put that match, one of those matches on that card. Mm-hmm. Maybe the first one.
Because of the importance of the story.
You know, and here's the thing. Kane was a constant too. But what more recognizable for him in terms of anything he's done than anything he's done with The Undertaker?
Yeah.
So I think about that.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
So going back to The Undertaker, like Ric Flair... His WrestleMania career is not what he's known for, but that was a memorable match.
Mm-hmm.
Is that worth keeping? Knowing that you're not going to probably have many other opportunities to put Ric Flair on the card.
The Evolution 6, the handicap match against The Rock and Sock, that's something that we could
think
discuss.
About too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then...
But there's also some Rock matches on this era that are going to be discussed as well.
Yeah, exactly. And then... You think about what other, you know, the 17's a pretty solid one, but then you got to think about where Triple H sits in that too. In my opinion, it's WrestleMania 14 is going to go on this card with Undertaker and Kane.
You know what? You sold me on it. The way you broke it down there when it comes to Undertaker and his role in these WrestleManias, I like that. And I'm down with Undertaker, Kane from WrestleMania 14. The story that built up to it, that had been, you know, 7 or 8 months in the making. And what's also great about the story too is, and you and I have talked about this, we initially thought that the introduction of the Kane character was going to be a one-off because we were so used to seeing all these big monsters and dragons that Undertaker was slaying to come and go. Exactly. And so, you know, we were under the impression that this was going to be a one-time thing, that, you know, Undertaker is going to have this match with his brother and he was going to put him down and that was going to be the end of it. And they managed to get different versions of this brotherly love-hate relationship they had for the better part of, you know, 15, 20 years following it. Yeah. So, what's also intriguing about the build-up to this match was the mystery as to what this individual looked like. Because it wasn't like they brought Kane out and he attacked the Undertaker and then they revealed the secret that Undertaker burned the house down with his brother in it. They revealed the secret and then Paul Bearer told us Kane is coming. And that was a very intriguing aspect of it. Yeah. You didn't see this big monster like Giant Gonzalez at the Royal Rumble in 93 attack the Undertaker, and you saw this threat. This threat didn't have a face to match it yet.
And it rattled the Undertaker.
Yeah. You know,
without its physical presence.
That was the skeleton in his closet that he was that he couldn't shake. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very intriguing. And then when you saw him, and this was perfectly done. I don't know if this is how they meant to do it, but with the Hell in the Cell, with Shawn Michaels, the red lighting, he ripped the door off. Undertaker was like, what the fuck? And then he gets put down. Like, that's Dennis has said it, and I can't argue it. I'll die on that hill with him. Kane's debut is probably the greatest debut in all of WWE history.
Without thinking too hard about it, I can agree with that.
Yeah.
He had this superhuman quality to him. Remember, I don't know what the timing of this movie was around the 1997. Remember that Batman movie with George Clooney, Bane?
Yes.
That version of Bane?
Yes.
I feel like reminds me of Kane.
Yes. Like, yes.
And if anyone who watches followed Batman, like Bane is like a literal superhuman, like almost machine like.
That was Batman's force. Kryptonite. If we were gonna put like a Superman spin on
exactly.
it,
exactly. And that's almost what the story is like. Not that they used Batman and Bane as a base for this, but
this was Undertaker's Achilles heel.
This is the thing that knew the Undertaker better than anybody. That was stronger and more powerful, and just was almost like the super boss.
Yeah.
Of the Undertaker. So, and if we're going back,
you got an alarm for Bruce's pills?
I do. Yes, he's got to take his pills. Yeah. The other part of this, going back to the WrestleMania card, and this, we haven't established this as the opener of the match. We haven't done the order of the
card. Yeah, we're just throwing matches out there.
In WrestleMania fashion, there is Pete Rose in this part of this show that will be included.
So yes,
this is all that's important to know that will take place.
You can't win a World Series.
Yeah. So there is that to remember that we will also be able to bear witness to in this build of WrestleMania.
Yes, I like it. So, I like it. So we've locked it in. First match. It's not the first match to take place in the card, but it's the first match we put on this card. Undertaker Kane from WrestleMania 14. Get the Pete Rose cameo. At the beginning, we're, you know, Kane tombstones Pete Rose and sets up the next couple of years of Pete Rose cameos. At WrestleMania, which was a lot of fun.
Yep.
So, all right. So, we've taken Undertaker off the board. So, Undertaker is officially on this card. Everything else,
I mean, his best shit at WrestleMania came, I think.
Later. Yeah.
The stadium era.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I think this one is a good fit for this 10-year block.
All right. Here's one individual that comes to mind. He only competed in one WrestleMania. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He competed in two WrestleManias in this era, but he was known for being a big prominent name during the New Generation era. Scott Hall, Razor Ramon. Do we find a place for him on this card? All you have really is
the match with Austin?
The match with Austin at 18 and the match with Double J in Hartford. For the Intercontinental title.
I don't know if I'm ready to do the... I'm definitely not doing the Austin one.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can put the Intercontinental title in that match yet.
Yeah. Okay.
Although I don't hate the idea, I don't know if I can do that right now.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think of, like, other people.
You want to throw Sean out there? You want to talk about Sean now? Now that we've...
Yeah. So here's the thing. This is obviously, so Shawn had some, he had some doozies. He had the Iron Man match. He had the match with Diesel.
Yep.
Those are both WWF Championship matches. Yep. As was the match with Austin.
Yep.
And then he was off until Jericho in 19.
Yep.
And then the championship, the World Heavyweight Championship match. Important distinction.
Which we could also include because it's a separate title from the WWF, WWE title.
With Triple H and Benoit. So I feel like if we're going to go with anything from him, it's one of those two. The Jericho match or the Triple Threat. That would be my opinion.
Okay. Now, let's... I'm okay with... Now, I'm okay with doing Shawn and Jericho from 19 on this card because it's not a title match.
Yeah.
And it also leaves us open for numerous championship matches that we can put on as our main event.
Okay.
So at least Shawn has a place on this card in that sense and being a prominent figure. And it's also a throwback. That match with him and Jericho was an homage to Shawn's career in many ways.
Yep.
So it would be fitting that if we are going to build a WrestleMania card from WrestleManias 11 through 20, the WrestleMania 19 match with Jericho is on this card paying tribute to Shawn's body of work at previous WrestleManias.
I'm good with that. I like that idea a lot. Again, like The Undertaker, Shawn's best shit at WrestleMania came the next 10-year block.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was just cooking. He was just starting.
The Kurt Angle match.
Yeah.
And then the stuff with Undertaker.
This back end, when he returned, you know, those first couple years back, he was really just, you know, he was preheating the oven.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So you want to lock that in? So Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho from WrestleMania 19, another match that's going to take place on this WrestleMania. So that eliminates Shawn and Diesel. That eliminates the Iron Man match with Brett. That also eliminates the match with Austin at WrestleMania 14 with Mike Tyson.
Yep.
And that eliminates the Triple Threat World Heavyweight Championship match with Triple H and Chris Benoit for the world title.
That's fine.
Unless you wanted to have Shawn pull double duty and work Jericho and then have the Triple Threat later in the night.
Well, we're not allowed to do that, right?
That's true.
We're allowed to do double duty between one and two nights.
Correct. Okay, you're right. I got it confused. Yep. So
here's another topic to go into. So we talked yesterday about ladder matches, and we probably would have one here. So there's quite a few ladder matches here, but there also are ladder matches that are tag team matches.
Yes.
Tag team title matches.
Yes.
So are we to, in this era of WrestleMania, in this era of WWE, is there tag matches that are not ladder matches that we need to consider putting on the card before we get to the ladder match conversation?
Okay. All right, let's roll it down. WrestleMania 11 was Owen Hart and Yokozuna defeating the Smoking Guns for the tag team titles, albeit Yoko being the mystery partner of Owen. That's really the only appealing aspect of that match.
Not something we need to necessarily make.
WrestleMania 13, we saw Vader and Mankind against Owen and the British Bulldog for the tag team titles. Nothing to write home about.
Right.
WrestleMania 14, the dumpster match with the New Age Outlaws against Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie.
That's
a contender. WrestleMania 15, Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett against D'Lo Brown and Test. Not making this WrestleMania card. Then we have 16 and 17, the triangle ladder match and the TLC 2 match with Edge and Christian, the Hardys, and the Dudleys. Those obviously are up there. 18 was a fatal four-way tag team match with APA, Billy and Chuck, Hardys and Dudleys. 19 was, if we're counting Sunday Night Heat, RVD and Kane against Lance Storm and Chief Morley. And then on the main card, Los Guerreros, Team Angle, and Chris Benoit and Rhino in a triple threat tag team match. And then WrestleMania 20 had two fatal four-way tag team matches for the World Tag Team titles and the WWE Tag Team titles. The World Tag Title match saw Jindrak and Cade, RVD and Booker T, the Dudley Boys and La Resistance.
Okay.
And then the SmackDown Tag Team title match saw Haas and Benjamin, Rikishi and Scotty Too Hotty, APA, and the Basham Brothers.
I think we kind of answer. I feel like the ladder matches are probably the ones we're going to fight over now.
Yeah.
I feel like the tag, I think through that exercise, we've determined that that's not a lot of great options.
Correct.
Other than the dumpster match. But yeah. Again, if we do the dumpster match,
we're eliminating those.
The ladder
two.
Matches are out.
And so I think.
And I don't think that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. The dumpster match has got a special place in my heart, here. But it's not. It's not worth eliminating mm-hmm. either of those two ladder matches.
So which ladder match are we picking then? That's really what I feel like what we're doing next.
I mean, if we're going to build a WrestleMania.
I'm a personal fan of the first one over the second
one. So explain to me. All right. So I'd like to hear your reasons behind that.
I just think it was first off, I'm a personal fan of the first tag team ladder match at No Mercy that prior fall.
Yes.
I still remember ordering that pay-per-view and us watching it.
Like, yeah.
Not one of those, I remember where I was, but I do remember where I was. But obviously they grew that from a tag team to a triple.
Well, I remember we watched it and it felt like you were watching history. Yes. Like you had never seen anything like that before.
And honestly, that might have been one of the first or at least few times at that point where I was like, this is something huge that just happened.
Yeah.
But I liked the triple threat one because it was just an extension of that.
Yeah.
And it was at WrestleMania.
Yep.
And I was an Edge and Christian fan.
That's right.
So
I was a big Hardy guy, but I was also Dudley's
I was happy to see that they won on that big stage.
Mm-hmm.
The second one I like too, but I feel like it was just like, we're going to do it again, but we're just going to add these other bits to it with like
Lita and Spike and Rhino. Yeah.
But honestly, for the sake of this card, I might think 17 might be the one.
And is that because of the flashbulb moment with Edge, Spear, and Hardy off the top
of
the ladder?
No, probably more so with the, like, that's how Lita gets on our card. That's how Spike gets on our card.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's marginally not as good as the first one, in my opinion. But that's not like...
No, it's not, but I think...
One's A plus and one's A minus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're both good in their own ways, but I tend to agree with you. I thought the triangle ladder match... Like you said, it felt like at 17 when they did TLC 2, it's like, all right, we need a reason to put these guys on the card together. And, you know, they do these ladder match things pretty well. And they also kind of implied that it was a good chance that this was the last time you were going to see all three of these teams. And then I think they did like two or three more after that.
Plus the Dudleys when the first one happened WrestleMania 2000, when the first one happened, the Dudleys were fucking hot.
Yeah.
They were those damn Dudleys.
Yes.
You wanted to see
they
them
put Mae Young through the table.
Like, so
the powerbomb off the stage.
You know, by the time that 17 rolled around, while they were still cooking, they were cooled off a little bit in terms of, like, I don't want to say their peak, but, like, their that initial, like, appeal when they first got there that they blew up on around WrestleMania 20 or 2000, excuse me, was gone.
Yeah.
They were now kind of well in their thing.
Yeah.
Again, also why I liked... The first one. But I think if I had to pick between the two, I would still probably pick 17. The flashbulb moment is a good... I didn't even think of that. That's a good reason to keep it on there too with the spear. But again, like, they did it... The addition of those bit players made it fun.
Yeah. It added another dimension to it.
You had
each team had their own equalizer or enforcer in a way. And adding a female element to it with Lita was interesting as well. You know, you had Spike was the little, and each one was different. Spike was the little runt that got bounced around and beat up, and you know, but he was like the little brother of the Dudleys. Rhino was this killer that didn't he had no remorse, and just
brute,
just tore through everybody. And then Lita was like the tomboy, the chick. You know what I mean? And I think adding that female aspect to it made it interesting. So, I mean, I think we've kind of answered our question here.
I think that's the one we go
with. Okay, so let's do it. So, TLC 2, Edge and Christian, Hardys and the Dudleys for the WWF Tag Team Championship. Now, does that take off every other tag team title? Because there were two different versions of those titles that came later at some of the later WrestleManias. So,
well, we're just operating on, I don't think you gave any attract, the most attractive match you gave was that three-way match at 19.
For the SmackDown tag team titles? Okay. And that could be something that we might be able to revisit if we wanted to put Eddie Guerrero on the card.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But as you think about it, like, Eddie Guerrero's got, like, we're going to be talking about him, too. Yeah. Like, and what other stuff he did and yeah. what's worthy of being on the card.
Yeah.
There. Okay. So
let's just lock in let's lock in TLC 2 right now from WrestleMania 17. So far we've got Undertaker and Kane from WrestleMania 14 and TLC 2 with Edge and Christian, the Hardys, and the Dudley Boys from WrestleMania 17. All right. We had in the first WrestleMania card, we had some celebrity elements to it with like guest ring announcers and guest timekeepers. But we didn't really have too much celebrity involvement in terms of physical, a physical aspect of WrestleMania. And in these WrestleManias from 11 through 20, do we put a celebrity match on this card on WrestleMania Sunday, build a WrestleMania Sunday?
I think it's worth at least visiting and okay. trying to figure out, they didn't have a lot of celebrities do matches, so it doesn't speak to the era as much.
The only one I could think of is LT and Bam yeah. Bam. And is that worth putting on this card?
Right. The other thing I think about is, what was that match at WrestleMania 2000 when Pete Rose showed up again?
Oh, it was
Kane and Rikishi and X-Pac.
Kane and Rikishi, and, X-Pac and Road Dogg, yeah.
Is that worth putting in on some level to create that lineage? Or Kane's already in the...
Kane's yeah. already in the yeah. Undertaker match.
It's true.
So if there's any celebrity match we were to put on the card, you got LT and Bam Bam.
Yeah. So let's at least keep that in mind as we keep going
here. Okay.
So
like I said, tag team titles, TLC 2... And then Undertaker and Kane.
Yep.
All right. Where do you think we go next? Should we address the Shawn Michaels situation? No, I'm sorry. Should we address the championship situation?
Well, yes. I was going to say, because we had yesterday the Intercontinental Championship, the Tag Team Championship, we're allowed to use those again, right?
Yeah, we can carry the titles over the next day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Intercontinental title. So, I'm trying to think.
Or we can go a different route. And there's, you know, you also have to remember during this era, this is where more titles were added. Hardcore title, mm-hmm. European title, United States title, I think, was also part of the mix as well. With the different SmackDown and Raw brand splits, you know, yep. in the latter half of this. So
we could use those.
We could use those as well rather than maybe doing another we have a second tag team title match, but for TLC, I'm willing to make the exception. Carrying the belts over again.
But we're also like, we're also not necessarily worried about crossing over either because we're talking about different decades.
Yeah.
So we're not. Like, we're not crossing over within the decades.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I think if we keep belts can, it's fine.
Okay.
I don't think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So Intercontinental title. You said Razor and Double J.
Yeah.
What was 12 didn't have one because wasn't Goldust the champion?
Yeah. He wrestled Piper. And in the Hollywood
is that match going? I think that we put that match on. Talk about hardcore. Talk about something
different,
an attraction,
and it was a thread that was weaved into the entire WrestleMania. Yeah, that WrestleMania.
I think we put that one on there.
All right, I'm about it because we get Piper and a Piper's Pit on the last segment, so on the last recording. So why not have Piper and Goldust as a part of a match, which is an underrated aspect of WrestleMania. I thought that was very well done with the screenshots of the OJ chase, and they used the white Bronco like it was, you know, a little wink and a nod to that whole deal, because it was like a year removed. Because if we recall, the original plan that has been revealed over years was they wanted OJ and Piper in a match, and OJ turned it down for obvious reasons, and they settled on Roddy Piper and Goldust. So are we going to lock that in?
I say lock it
in. All right, let's lock that in. Roddy Piper, Goldust, Hollywood Backlot Brawl. So we have that match, we have the TLC match, and we have Kane and The Undertaker. Those are the three matches we have on the board right now for this WrestleMania Sunday. Do you want to delve into the championship match? Do you want to delve into the main event or with certain guys here? Do you want to...
So, like, are we talking the...
Oh, we also have Shawn Michaels and Jericho. I forgot about that. So we have four matches so far.
So we get we got three or four more.
Well, we could also...
Potentially more.
Yeah. Potentially more, depending on, you know...
So are we going to talk about the belt? Because we don't need to worry about match order
yet. We're talking about Steve Austin.
To me, Steve, if you're doing Steve Austin, it's one of his matches with The Rock.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably 17.
For the title.
And then there's the title. And if you think about it, that was a big main event match.
That was huge. Like I said, that closed, in my opinion, the chapter of the Monday Night Wars. Yeah. That was the WrestleMania that kind of was like the finale of the Attitude Era.
That becomes our WWF Championship match and possibly main event.
Yeah. Which you take, so with Rock.
You're taking a lot off the
board. You take Rock and Hogan off.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Because I think we can squeeze in Hogan Vince. On this
I was
card.
Thinking about that too.
I think we could squeeze in Hogan Vince. Or we can squeeze in Hogan or Vince and Shane.
Are we basically saying that WrestleMania 17 is going to be our build a WrestleMania Sunday?
I know, right?
Which is what makes it the greatest WrestleMania of all time.
Yeah.
So all more of a credit to it, how great it is. I think we've decided our championship match. We've decided the match for these two crucial figures in history, and mm-hmm. we've decided, I think, our main event. I think
Austin and Rock.
Around, it's Austin and Rock from 17.
Okay, all right. I can get behind that. We locked that in. So now we're at like five matches right now. I have a feeling we're gonna go past eight matches. We might.
All right. Well, let's see. Yeah. Let's see where we go.
Yeah. Here's a name. So we've eliminated Austin and we've eliminated Rock. They're on the board. Shawn's on the board. Undertaker's on the board. Kane's on the board. Triple H. Where do you put Triple H on this card?
So what did he have? He had Ultimate Warrior, 12. 13, he had
Goldust.
14, he had Owen. Which I thought was a cool little match.
It wasn't bad,
yeah. Handcuff gimmick. That's kind of a WrestleMania.
China the Slaughter, yeah. Thing. European title. Yeah.
15, he had Kane. Off the board. 16 off the board now was that Fatal 4-Way, which people hate,
yeah.
But I liked.
Yeah.
A lot of stories kind of molded in together, and it was retrospectively, the McMahon in every corner thing was kind of silly, but... It wasn't. It was cool at the time. Like yeah. It made sense because they yeah. were such big players on the show. 17's Undertaker off the board. 18 Jericho off the board. 19 Booker T.
That's the only one I think. If yeah, you were to
the
put
20
it
with Shawn, it's off the board. I'd say, and that would be your world heavyweight title match.
Yeah, that would be like your mid card, you know, consolation prize championship match.
I'm not against putting that on this card either.
And I don't mind that match. It's not a bad match.
No, I know we all dislike it because he won. And that's its own episode of a podcast, I'm sure. So
yeah.
I'm good with going there.
Okay. All right, let's do that then. Let's do Triple H, Booker T, World Heavyweight Championship from WrestleMania 19. The very controversial way that they built that match because you had the implications of the racial overtones from Triple H towards Booker T that, you know, he wasn't good enough, and people like you, that phrase, was thrown out there. And then I believe there was even one point in that story where there's a scene where Triple H is in the locker room, and he just came out of the stall, he was in the bathroom, and he goes to wash his hands, and Booker T was standing right there, and he gave Booker T a dollar bill, implying yeah. that he was like a bathroom attendant.
Oh, such a horrible fucking...
Yeah.
I mean, not horrible like in a bat, like...
It was horrible. It was horrible because of what they gave us, but it was even worse
when he won. It was like, tell me you're racist without telling me you're racist.
Yes!
Was what that storyline screamed.
Yes. Oh my God.
Not like
God.
WWF is racist or no. Vince McMahon or Triple H is racist, but
yeah.
like It was like they all like if they got called out on it, they'd be like, there was nothing racial about it.
I know, right?
What do you mean someone like him? Like him, Booker T, like him. What does like him mean?
Yeah.
Like it was like it was such a dancing around
things. And then even like, and then of course the commentary in that match with King and JR Jerry Lawler was just, he was never like, never ended. He, you know, I heard Booker T went to the mall the other day. He tried to pay for something in cigarettes. Like he was a, you know, because they brought up Booker T's criminal past in real life when he went to jail when he was a young kid. Which makes you
think like, he's going to finally get this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So that's what I thought. And I had this argument with somebody online recently about this because I put a poll up on the Facebook page and I said, you know, give me WrestleMania, the wrong winners of a WrestleMania match. Yeah. I'll start. And I picked that match.
Of course.
Hunter and Booker. And someone brought up a solid point, but I disagreed with it, but it was solid nonetheless. That there was nobody else that Booker T could have worked with that was over enough for Booker and to have a world championship caliber rivalry. And at that time, they were building up Hunter to feed him to Goldberg.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
Hunter had that belt Hunter was gifted that belt in September of 2002. He lost it briefly to Sean, won it back. He went through Steiner twice. Then he had Booker. Then after that, he had a few rounds with Nash. He won the chamber at SummerSlam, and then he got fed to Goldberg in the fall.
Yep.
So he had like almost like just about a year run
with the belt,
with that title. And if the roles were reversed, if we're going to trade places here, who was Booker T going to work with during that era that was over enough for a world championship caliber match? And with Booker as a babyface, maybe Jericho.
Yeah.
You weren't going to feed him to Goldberg.
Kane.
Maybe Kane. Well, Kane was a babyface at that time. You could have went around the horn a couple of times with Hunter and extended that rivalry for two, you know, for another couple pay-per-views. Yeah. Maybe Sean, but like it wasn't something that was super intriguing.
Yeah,
with Booker as the champion, which he made a lot of sense. I'm not going to argue the individual that made this point on social media.
That is a pretty sound logic.
But if the story was positioned and built in a different way that didn't make Booker T look so inferior and less than, I would have been able to accept that role.
But then you can argue that's the point of it. The heat is like, God damn it. Like, this dude fucking won, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what is the, like, how could this have happened? And why is this is unfair? Like, and only makes you want to watch Triple H get his ass kicked more.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. It's...
So we got the world title match, Hunter and Booker. On that same card, we got Shawn and Jericho, Kane and Undertaker, Hollywood Backlot Brawl, TLC 2. Right? Are we missing one?
And then
Austin Rock from 17 is the main event.
Is there a women's match? Are there women's matches to
look
for here?
Okay.
Not many. This is not a great era of women's wrestling, despite what
they no. want to... If there's any women's matches you put on that card, on this card, would probably stem from... All right, so you could either put we just had a mixed tag last night, and Goldust is off the table with four. I was thinking the mixed tag from 14 with maybe Sable and Mero against Goldust and Luna.
That's not bad.
But we already put Goldust with Piper, and that's a better match to put on this card. I'm not going to sacrifice the Hollywood Backlot Brawl for that mixed tag. I'm thinking either Trish, Lita, and Jazz from 18. Okay. In Toronto, or I'm thinking Trish, Jazz, Victoria
from 19,
or Victoria and Molly from 20, title versus hair.
I would almost go with that one just because of the hair part. I know we talked yesterday about that.
Yeah.
And
we didn't put Piper and Adrian Adonis on that because of this.
So that would kind of be a tribute to that gimmick having prevalence as it would later with Trump Vince and, you know... Probably we'll see one later.
Yeah,
in WrestleMania's histories.
But, yeah,
I would say probably either the 18 one or the 20 one.
Okay, what do you think?
I'd probably go with the 20.
You're leaning towards the hair match.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm gonna go with that.
Okay, we can do that.
So,
all right. So Victoria, Molly Holly, Women's Championship, WrestleMania 20, title versus, because Victoria didn't put her hair on the line, right? It was just Molly, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was title versus hair. If Molly lost, she had to shave her head. And she legit did it, too, wasn't, you know, which is crazy to me that she sacrificed, you know, her hair as a female, which isn't a very popular haircut for females.
Wait, before we do this,
Before you lock it in, what are you thinking?
Do we consider the linear title hardcore title changing hands at WrestleMania 18
as when Molly won it from Hurricane,
and then Hurricane lost it.
And then she lost it. No, she lost it to Christian,
who ended up leaving, right, and winning. So it was
Hurricane. No, he ended up leaving, and then he thought he was going to leave with the title, and Maven scooped him up before he put him in the cab, and then he went in the cab.
He took
his cab with the title.
So,
but Christian's already on the card, WrestleMania.
Oh, shit.
17.
Okay, then that's fine. All right. That would have been a fun little.
Or you do Sable and Tori with Nicole Bass from WrestleMania 15.
That's not bad.
WrestleMania 2000. What was it? Terry Reynolds and the Cat.
Why don't we do that
as the women's match?
Another women's match. We could do the hair match and the match of 15.
Same title though, right?
Oh right. No, I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking about the title.
The same title.
I would still probably do hair versus title.
Yeah, Molly and Victoria.
Yeah,
trying to think what else. So 15, 16, 17. 17 had China and Ivory, which wasn't anything to write home about, but I think it was designed that way because China was this dominant figure. 18, 19, 20. Yeah, so, all right. I say
hair versus title.
Okay. So, this just came to me. We put Rock and Austin as the main event for the title.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about Eddie Guerrero earlier.
Yeah, there's a lot of good matches we took off the board with that WWF Championship.
And here's another name, too. Kurt Angle. Now,
ooh,
there's a few matches.
Yeah, there's one that comes to mind.
You thinking the Benoit one at 17?
That was a fucking
Yeah, yeah. It was a great match.
We also took off the triple threat, the Euro Continental. That's off the board.
Oh, the two-fall triple threat with Jericho and Benoit the year prior.
Yep.
We also took off the match with Brock.
And Kane.
And we also took off the match with him and Eddie Guerrero. Oh, yeah, the one with Kane, too. That's right.
Yeah, really the only one we can pick is the Benoit one.
That's got to
pick that one.
Yeah, I'd like that, too. It's not for a title. It's just a straight-up singles match, two wrestlers. And it was during that era where their work was it was appealing to the internet wrestling audience, if that makes any sense.
Was that a submission match or a singles match?
It was just a straight up singles match. Okay. And it only had like a couple of weeks of build. It wasn't that Kurt Angle was a victim of at that WrestleMania of not really having a whole lot planned for him because there was so much on that card.
And the year after when he fought Kane.
That's another one too. Yeah, he was
Well, they more than made up for it at 19, 20, 21, 22.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, all right, we could do that. So, Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, straight up singles match. No gimmicks. Just, you know, two guys going at it and just tearing the house down, the Houston Astros.
So, we'll recap here before we decide how much more we go because I think we're getting tight on matches
in
terms of how many we have.
Yep.
But we've got this Angle Benoit match from 17. We've got the title versus hair from 20, the world heavyweight title match from 19, the WWF championship match from 17, the Hollywood Backlot Brawl from 12, TLC 2 from 17, the Shawn Jericho match from 19, and then brother versus brother from 14. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think we could probably be fair and add one, maybe two more.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say.
So let's go back and see what matches from WrestleMania's 11 through 20 that come to mind that you think would be deserving on this card. WrestleMania 11, we talked earlier about LT and Bam Bam having that celebrity match on that card. But it's not crucial. It's just an option that was thrown out there. Okay. WrestleMania. I'm trying to think. What was there anything on 15? Here's an interesting match. Well, here hear me out. If you said one or two more, here's one match. X-Pac, Shane McMahon, European title from WrestleMania 15.
Okay.
It's not a great match, but it was a surprisingly good match because of Shane McMahon's first wrestling match. That's one. Okay. The other. Well, actually, there's a few more now that I think of. WrestleMania 2000, the Hardcore Battle Royal. Taz, the Hollies, the APA, Viscera, Kai and Tai, the Mean Street Posse, a little Let Me Up on this WrestleMania card. Okay. Test and Eddie Guerrero from 17.
That wasn't bad.
Not bad. We talked about maybe Vince and Shane earlier. If we wanted to, you know, if we wanted to pay homage to the history of WrestleMania as well, during this era, Hogan and Vince from 19 is one that really comes to mind. Cena and Big Show, United States title from WrestleMania 20 is a decent one. So those are some matches that come to mind if we're going to add like one or two more matches to the card. You have eight so far, right?
Yeah. Okay. I feel like I like the Hardcore Battle Royal idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think kind of like the way we had the eight-man from yesterday.
Yep.
I like that one a lot.
Taz, the Hardcore and Crash Holly, Viscera, Kai and Tai, the Mean Street Posse, the APA. It was like a 15-man group. The Headbangers were in it, I think.
I like that one. It's just a question of... I feel like anything else we put on isn't terribly crucial to put on. You talked about Vince and Shane as well. Not terribly crucial to put on.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of fucking action on this card. A lot of hardcore action. The ladder match, the backlot brawl. You know what I mean? We'll have the hardcore match. So that's a lot of blood and guts, if you will.
Yeah.
Hogan
Vince too is no holds barred as well, if we were to put that on there. Austin Rock ended up becoming a no DQ match.
What was that tag team match again from 19?
Team Angle.
The Guerreros.
The Guerreros and then, Benoit and Rhino. So but Benoit's on that.
Guerrero wasn't on WrestleMania 2000, right?
He was. It was him, Dean Malenko, and Saturn against China and Too Cool.
That's right.
It's a six-man tag. That was where Latino Heat was born.
That's right. And then... Then he was on with Test the next year.
18 he wasn't on because he wasn't with the company.
19 was the tag. We can't do the tag, and then 20 was Kurt Angle. But again, I'm not like, oh my god, this isn't WrestleMania without Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah. Here's one. It's an attraction.
Sure.
Butterbean and Bart Gunn from WrestleMania 15 Brawl for All.
I would do that instead of the hardcore match.
Yeah.
The hardcore battle royal. I would do that. I like that.
Let's do it.
And again, that's an attraction. It's kind of a let me up of sorts.
Yeah.
I like that.
Albeit that was short. I remember we had a living room full of people at our house watching that WrestleMania. And when we saw Bart Gunn's head spin the way it did after that final knockout, I swear, at least for me, I'll speak for myself, I thought he was dead.
Yeah.
His head spun like you spin like a globe, you know? And it was just, 16 years old, and I was like, oh my God. And then he fell and he bounced off the rope, like the bottom rope. Like he was toast at that point. He was done. So that leaves us at 9. You want to do one more? You think one more should be on this card, or you think that...
I don't hate the card we have.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to see, like, people-wise. Like, is there someone that we missed on this that would be kind of, like, criminal if you're building a WrestleMania? We got Shawn. We got Taker. We got...
Kane, Triple H. Mick Foley.
I was just going to say, but you know what, though?
He might be one of those that gets left off the card. Or, because he was a special guest referee, you put Vincent Shane on that show, and that's how he gets on this card.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's, is that match, like you said, is that match crucial? You just said there's a lot of blood and guts.
But Mick Foley's crucial, more crucial than that. but again, I'm not, I, as much, as great as that match, I mean, everything.
If we do another, I'm sure we're going to do another build a WrestleMania concept for WrestleManias 21 through 30.
Do we see his match with?
With Edge on there. There's a good chance we'll probably put that on there.
It's possible.
It's possible, yeah.
Let's go back. Let's go. So he debuted right after 12. 13, it was
him and Vader
against Owen and Bulldog.
No. The dumpster match at 14.
Yeah, that's off the board.
15, he won the match against Big Show, and he had the final deciding fall against
in the main event
with Rock and Austin.
16 was the four way, and then he was gone until 20, and you can't see that match either. Well, he had the ref spot in 17.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm good with it the way it is. In that sense, as much as I want to fit Foley in there, I'm not gonna put a match in there. I feel like it doesn't necessarily have to be there just to make it happen.
Yeah. Plus, we got three matches from that WrestleMania 17 card on there.
Like I said, might as well make it the WrestleMania 17 Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good with it the way it is. We probably even in going overboard, I'm like not entirely like we definitely like went over budget, if you will.
Okay.
It's good though. I like the card. That, you know, I think anything more is excessive.
Okay.
Anything more is the equivalent of like WrestleMania 35 when Kurt Angle lost to Baron Corbin in 12 seconds.
Yeah.
Or Samoa Joe beat Rey Mysterio in a match. Like no one cared. Like now we're just putting people out there and letting them wave.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, so let's put this card together, start to finish.
The opener. Well, we know the main event. We already established that.
Yep, Rock and Austin title match. Vince is going to have a role in that show in that finish too. So,
yes, and that's actually important to make note of.
So. Yeah. So. This is pre-Vince before he shit on some girl's head, just by the way.
We don't know if before.
Yeah, that's true.
Very well, could have been.
That we know of, yeah. He might have taken a dump on someone's head that night. Who knows? Not to make light of the situation either. But that's the main event. Rockin' Austin, WWF Championship. I feel like for that match, you would have to put Paul Heyman on commentary, because even his commentary during that show was excellent.
That's a good point.
You know? So if you threw Paul Heyman in there as like a guest cameo, because Lawler wasn't a part of that WrestleMania that year.
Nope.
He had left. He quit his job for a woman, which I don't suggest you do by any means. She may pay your bills emotionally, but financially, not so much.
Opening match, I would say probably Shawn and
Jericho. I was just going to say Shawn and Jericho. Either I was going to say Shawn and Jericho, or I was going to say TLC 2.
I think TLC 2, how many matches do we have here again? I'll just count them again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8. We have 9 matches.
9 matches.
I still like Shawn and Jericho.
All right, so you do Shawn and Jericho first. Then you do the Brawl for All second.
I like that.
The Let Me Up match. Just had a fucking barn burner to open up WrestleMania with Shawn and Jericho. From WrestleMania 19. You do the Brawl for All next. That, like I said, Let Me Up. And it's not that long of a match. It's what, 3 minutes maybe at best, including entrances?
Yeah.
So really you have 8 matches in a segment, if you want to put it that way.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
That's what we kind of did with Saturday.
Yeah, with Piper's, and then we had Piper's Pit.
So I like that idea.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
And then Brawl for All.
Now, you, I think we should go something a little more personal. for the third match that would be like on the undercard.
The world title match.
With Booker. I was going to say that, or I was going to say Kane and Undertaker. But Kane and Undertaker was also a good spot where it was at 14, right before the main event, yeah. too. So, like...
I say the world title match.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like the heel disappointing victory of the portion of the card that you have early on in the card, because you don't want to get that close to the end of the show either. At least from my perspective. So that's 3-4. What do we got that you're thinking of?
This is gonna be really wonky. The next match is going to be the Backlot Brawl. I say that because our crack production team is gonna have to be really busy putting all those ladders in place all around the ring for the big TLC 2 match.
And okay.
The audience at home is going to need something to watch behind the scenes.
But you also have to remember, too, the Backlot Brawl weaved in and out of WrestleMania 12, so this might continue later in the show. So the Backlot... Well,
that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. I mean, I would say that bleeds right through to... In my head, with Austin Rock going on last, the end of the Backlot Brawl happens before that, and before that is Undertaker Kane.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
But I'm saying at least the beginning of the Backlot Brawl...
Starts... Is that 4th?
Yeah.
So that goes on after Hunter and Booker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know who I forgot?
And then the ladder match following that.
TLC 2.
TLC 2.
I don't know if it was intended this way, but you know, another major name that would make this card, Rey Mysterio. Is that something we save for later?
V1, the first one, and then he had the gauntlet match.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
I would say his greatest WrestleMania moment came at the last WrestleMania he wrestled at against Dominic.
Yes. I'd say
that's the best thing he's done at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
The winning the world title for Eddie was great, but I still think this what he did this past year at 39 was probably better.
Okay.
The best thing he's done. So I would say, yeah, that's probably a future build of WrestleMania. So number 5 is the TLC at X7. TLC 2, excuse me. I think you go from there, you're going to peep back into the Backlot Brawl while they're cleaning up the tables and the ladders.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of peek in.
The OJ Chase portion of the show.
And then you go from that to title versus hair.
Molly and Victoria.
And in between, during that match, you can get the Roddy Piper phone call. That he's gonna like kill himself or whatever from the Bronco.
He's gonna kill Goldust.
Yeah, or whatever. He's gonna kill Goldust.
Yeah, I don't think Piper wanted to off himself.
Yeah, but he can call into the broadcast from his car seat with AC in the back.
I'm not gonna let this fruitcake. I think that's what he called him on TV.
Yeah.
Which I'm just.
Yeah. Yep. He did do that.
I don't want to get canceled here, but that's what he said on camera. I'm not going to let this fruitcake. Yep. The things that people were able to get away with back then as to what they can get away with now, like it's surprising to me.
Okay. So we peek back into the Backlot Brawl, go to title versus hair. That's kind of a little bit of a ha-ha, but a good match.
Yeah.
And then I think we go for wrestling. We go for straight up wrestling with Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit.
Okay.
In this spot.
All right, I can get behind that. You got to change it up, yeah. Because we've had a little bit of Gaga in the last few matches. Let's do that.
7.
Just a really good singles match.
Yeah, and I think that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So this then leaves us with Undertaker Kane, I feel like. And again, that's a lot of smoke and mirrors.
It's personal.
Yep. You get the Pete Rose spot too, which yep. kind of lets people breathe a little bit before that match starts.
Mm-hmm.
That's at 14. And then the end of the backlot brawl will happen after that.
Okay. Piper strips Goldust down to his 90s. His negligee.
And then we end with Austin versus Rock.
With the cameo from McMahon
yes.
at the end.
All right.
Now, something we didn't do with our last recording, but I think it's an idea that you've thrown out there. In fact, I think you did it for our first build a concept when we did build a SummerSlam. Is there a match on this card that you would change the finish to? Remember we did that for SummerSlam?
Yeah, I do remember that.
We didn't do that for WrestleMania Saturday, but we can if you want. We could pick one match from WrestleMania
change
Saturday.
Change the outcome?
Change the outcome.
I would change the outcome of the main event based off of the idea Stone Cold would have has shared he wishes they did, instead of him shaking Vince's hand, where he calls the audible.
So he calls the audible and stuns him in front of everyone? Yeah. Like, so he used Vince to get the title, but he's still a good guy?
Yeah.
I would probably...
The easy one would be to say Booker T beats Triple H, and that's the one. But
I mean,
you can use that one.
Is there one from WrestleMania Saturday that we put together that you think deserved a change in the outcome? Or that warrants one?
You know, given its place on a card that doesn't include its entire story, you might argue you change Brett beating Owen. It doesn't look bad, Brett losing to Owen when he becomes the champion 2 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there's a story to be told following WrestleMania, but that doesn't exist in this universe.
Yeah.
It's just Brett versus Owen.
Yep.
So from that standpoint, you might go with that.
Okay.
There's also wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if the Ultimate Warrior kept the title
over Rick Rude. Yep.
Yeah, those would be the two I'd probably dance around with.
All right. Yeah, Booker and Hunter is the obvious for Sunday. I would have much rather seen Booker win.
Right.
And although I can get behind your idea of Austin calling the audible, like you said, and stunning Vince after he won the title from The Rock. Yeah, the other two that you mentioned from Saturday, yeah, I'm kind of on the same page with you. I can
with Brett and Owen, or with Brett beating with, Owen and Warrior.
Actually, Warrior. Not with Brett and Owen, but with Warrior and Rude.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Like Brett and Owen, as much as I didn't like it when Owen beat Brett as a kid, it made sense and it helped enhance Brett's story going further into the night when he beat Yoko at 10, as well as their story past WrestleMania.
Oh, no, of course, I agree with that. I just think that because in our universe that we just kind of created here, there isn't a Brett-Yoko match.
Yes, correct.
And it's built WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So it's just the standalone match.
Yep.
So if I could change anything to the benefit of the universe we've created, it would be potentially that. That's what I meant by
okay.
that.
All right.
Because,
okay,
yeah, it obviously made sense for him to lose to Owen
yeah.
as an adult. You go, yes, of course. Like, that's very logical.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Perfect. All right. So, let's run down this card one last time, start to finish, from opening match to main event, and we will close this thing out.
All right. So, to kick off our return back to build a WrestleMania here on Sunday, we started with the teacher versus student from WrestleMania 19. HBK versus YTJ, Chris Jericho. This would be Shawn Michaels' first match back at a WrestleMania in almost 4 years, 5 years. We then come back after that WrestleMania classic with the Brawl for All of sorts, with Bart Gunn, the Brawl for All champion, facing Butterbean at WrestleMania 15, which had a lot of nice pop and circumstance and some pizzazz. Gorilla Monsoon's last on-camera appearance.
That's right.
WWF.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And it was, yeah, that, there was that. And then there was a couple other judges there. Chuck Wepner, I think, was a
Chuck Wepner, the Bayonne Bleeder, yep. the story behind the original Rocky.
Yep.
Also, Vinny Pazienza yep. was the guest referee. That's he was right. a big name in boxing at that time.
Yep.
And then we're going to go back to WrestleMania 19 for match number 3, the World Heavyweight Championship. Triple H puts that on the line against Booker T. Again, back at WrestleMania 19. And then after that match, we go back to WrestleMania 12 to the beginnings of the Hollywood Backlot Brawl, which they were on what looked like a lot in Hollywood, beginning their standoff, which, if you remember, ended with Goldust fleeing the scene in his gold Cadillac and Roddy Piper on the hunt for him in the white Bronco that he found.
That Vince McMahon gifted him, by the way, after right. that event. I had read that that's somewhere right. Recently in the last year or so, that Vince, not only for his guy's WrestleMania payout, he also got the Bronco as yep. well.
So after that takes place, our team, our crack production staff at Builda WrestleMania Productions has finished putting all the ladders in place. They've finished putting all the chairs and tables in place. We're now ready for TLC 2, which has the Dudleys defending the championships, the tag team championships against the Hardys and Edge and Christian. We also see cameos from Lita, Spike Dudley, and Rhino. Following that match, we get a peek in the activities taking place on the Los Angeles Expressway with Roddy Piper on the hunt for Goldust, and law enforcement has intervened and are chasing the Hot Rod and his Bronco. After that match, the cleanup has been finished of what took place with TLC 2, and now we're at Title versus Hair back at WrestleMania 20 at Madison Square Garden. That is Victoria against Molly Holly. And during that match, we get a distress phone call from a motorist named Roddy Piper, explaining his anger and frustration as he's looking to find Goldust and do horrible things to him. After Title versus Hair, where Molly Holly gets her head shaved, we got on to a good old-fashioned wrestling match between two of the greatest to have ever done it, and Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit, which took place at WrestleMania 17. Following that match, we finally get the big showdown between The Undertaker and his kryptonite of sorts being his younger brother Kane, which took place at WrestleMania 14. And prior to that, we see Kane's entrance begin interrupting Pete Rose, which was a memorable WrestleMania.
Pete moment. Rose just got tombstoned!
He was, yeah. So that takes place within this moment as well in a canon. Following that match, we see the end of the Hollywood Backlot Brawl that took place back at WrestleMania 12, where it has made its way into the arena, into the live action, and in front of the live fans in the middle of the ring, where Piper has stripped Goldust down to his skivvies, or his bra and panties, as we saw, of sorts. And the Hot Rod prevailed, and the androgynous Goldust was humbled and embarrassed, to say the least. And to kick off our night, like we talked about, one of WrestleMania main event Rushmores, we've got Stone Cold Steve Austin facing The Rock for the WWF Championship, which again took place at WrestleMania 17.
Wow. That was what's interesting about these cards that we built between the Saturday card and the Sunday card. The Saturday card, we had more of a variety in terms of star power, match quality, storytelling, and the pomp and circumstance that embodies WrestleMania, whereas this card seemed like a WrestleMania all-star card with a lot of big-time matches on this card. Shawn and Jericho, Rock and Austin, Kane and Undertaker, TLC 2, I feel like this, they're both great in their own right, but this card was more of like an all-star game, or like a Pro Bowl
for sure.
In that sense. Didn't have a ton of variety, but we made sure we got the majority of the major players on this card. So yeah, that about does it. That rounds it out here for our Build a WrestleMania Sunday. We've concluded this Build a series. Thank you all for pressing play, hitting download, liking, subscribing, rating, and reviewing. Our next episode will be in the home stretch of WrestleMania season, as we'll be doing a WrestleMania prediction show covering WrestleMania's Night 1 and Night 2 coming up for WrestleMania 40, and we will have that for you on deck next week as we get closer and closer, in fact, the home stretch of WrestleMania season towards WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. So
With that being said, it's about that time that we put WrestleMania Sunday down for the three count, and we'll see you all next time.